Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, welcome to this Cricket Badger India vs England daily podcast by the fans for the fans. Virat Kohli's India with Rohit Sharma, Jasprit Bumrah and Ravi Ashwin and young starlets like Rishabh Pant and Shubman Gill. They play host to Joe Root's England with Jimmy Anderson, Ben Stokes, Stuart Broad and young talents like Ollie Pope and Zach Crawley. It's always England's toughest tour. Good luck to both sides. May the best team win.
Hello everybody, welcome along. It's another edition of the Test Match Daily Podcast. I'm James Butler, the Cricket Badger, and I jokingly said on yesterday's podcast, join us tomorrow. It might even be finished by then. It is finished by now. India have won the third Test match just after tea on day two in Ahmedabad by 10 wickets. And we now have 3 days off, basically, because that is the Test match gone. I love Test cricket. I am passionately an advocate of the five-day red ball test match. I quite like the odd pink ball test match. I have hated this test match in Ahmedabad because that is not test match cricket. That pitch was spinning from day number one. It was not an even contest between bat and ball. And we'll talk about that, as well as giving heaps of praise to India for winning that test match because they were the better of the two teams. England were woeful, I felt, during this test match. But I don't think that is a wicket that Ahmedabad can be proud of. Let's chat to some of the fan badges that are joining me after that result today. Sam's going to join us a bit later, but we've got Ash, Naman and Rito with me now. Ash, let's start with you. India, the better of the two teams.
India were clearly the better of the two teams. I don't think that's even debatable. England got selection wrong and then got the whole game plan when it came to trying to bat on the pitch wrong. In fact, as soon as they won the toss from that moment onwards, it was a downward spiral.
didn't get much after that, did they, really? I mean, I even felt, Ash, that in the India's first innings, after seeing how the ball behaved in their own innings, England, they bowled Jimmy Anderson, Stuart Broad and Jofra Archer too long because it was obviously a spinner's track. And they seem to still have this thing about the pink ball. It's going to swing. It's going to do something for us. The lights are coming on. Let's try and get the ball swinging for Jimmy. It swung for about two overs and that was it, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think I'm quite a fan of Root. I think he's quite proactive as a captain and changes up quite well. But we were too slow. I could understand opening the bowling with two of them. Probably Jofra and Jimmy would have been my choice. I'd have maybe given them a couple of overs each, but it was quite clear that after probably four or five, most six overs, right, it's time to get at least one spinner on, if not get both on. And I think in the end, Root almost held himself back too long. He probably should have been on for longer last night, never mind being on first thing this morning, because it was clear that spin was the difference. And I know they'd been taught that the pink ball rags at the best of times. So I don't think it was a shock on the pitch, if we can call it that, that it ragged.
Rito, you're in India, but you're supporting England in this series, turning out to be a wonderful decision for you, I think. But the pink ball obviously had an impact, but not the way that England thought it was going to. England were thinking it was going to swing, it was going to aid the likes of Jimmy Anderson and Stuart Broad with their pace. but it actually ended up being a ball that aided spin, and probably because it was a little bit heavier. We've spoken on this podcast before about four layers of lacquer and pigmentation, making it feel like it's heavier on the bat and heavier for catches in the field. It, when it did go straight, it skidded on a bit more.
Yes, absolutely. We did the pod on Tuesday, and you said that Joe Root might have to come on as the second spinner, and that's what happened this afternoon. He got his selection wrong, and he admitted by bringing himself on. And on any pitch where Joe Root gets 5 for 8, it's not a good test match pitch.
In all fairness to Rooty, Rita, that's exactly what he said in the post-match. They asked him about his 5 for 8, and he said, well, if I'm getting 5 for 8 on that surface, it tells you what you need to know about that surface.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And when teams are prone to collapses, that tells you that it's not a very good pitch. And India on their home track, collapsing from 98 for 2 to what, 145, that tells a story in itself. And I thought England had a bit of momentum into the third innings, but they got Patili fired once again.
I've got Naman on the podcast today, and Naman's been tweeting. He's an angry Naman today. He's been quite feisty on Twitter as our Naman. He's the only India representative on the podcast today. And Naman, I've been quite vocal on Twitter today. I think that was a shocking pitch. I really do. I don't think that was entertaining in any shape or form in terms of a test match. It was like watching a heavily biased towards spin bowling highlights reel. Wicket, wicket, wicket. Very few decent batting in there. And there's plenty of good batting in both of those two teams, particularly India against spin. And even they found it really difficult to stay in on that surface against Joe Root, who took 5 for 8. And India bat all the way down to number 9. Now, man, there's no way in this world you can come on this podcast today and tell me that Ahmedabad pitch was fit for purpose.
See, to be honest, James, even if India had lost this test match, I wouldn't have blamed the pitch over there. I strongly believe that this is the technical issue, not only with England. Yes, Root took a 5 for over there, but also we need to see how, Rishabh Pant nicked behind, but Akshar went for a 6, Ashwin went for a 6. So we also need to see how the wickets were taken. It's not just only the numbers game. And to be honest, it's not only about the pitch. Wherever India travels or any country travels, I'm just speaking from cricket's point of view, yes, you will be given plenty of different pitches over there. We never blame the bowlers, never blame when the batsmen tend to score double hundreds and triple hundreds. They tend to keep bowling, they tend to keep fighting. They bowl 2 to 3 days, almost 60, 70 overs, the spinners tend to bowl. But end of the day, you have to play well. I always mention that not even if you see in India, Rahane is always vulnerable to the spinners, and I was damn sure he won't survive more than 5 overs today, and he was out over there. Leaving Pant, yes, Akshar Patel is short of batting. Washington Sundar, yes, he has scored well, but he got a brilliant delivery from the over there from Root. It was turning right from day one, and I felt they got a brilliant start. They got off to a brilliant start, England over there, but it is all about winning smaller sessions over there. They were 70 for 2, but collapsed over there. Then India were almost 90-100 for 2, as Rito mentioned over there. They collapsed from there. But yes, it was turning. But the point to be noted over here is 21 out of 30 deliveries were the straight ones where the wicket was taken. This
I'll come in on that because I was going to mention that, Naman. People on Twitter have said to me that the straight ball shouldn't be taking wickets. But when you've got the likes of Ravi Ashwin and Akshar Patel and even Jack Leach, who are spinning the ball quite a lot on that surface, and then one stays straight, that's as big a weapon for a spin bowler as the big turner. The big turners hardly ever take wickets. It's the straight ones that often get batsmen, because then they're playing for the turn. They're not quite sure what the bowler's sending down. So it's still a spin delivery. It's just gone straight.
So this is exactly where James Cook intervened, and this is where we are seeing the technical issues, because he himself mentioned as soon as the second test got over, the straighter ones are never going to take wickets because you are already defending, and the turning ones are going outside the off stump, where you have to leave it simply. Even if you are trying to attempt that particular delivery, the ball is going outside the off stumps. You are hardly going to nick it.
Now, man, look me in the eyes then. I know you can't, but look me in the eyes metaphorically and tell me that was a good test match track.
Yes, it was a good day. Naman.
I had so much respect for you. You've been a fantastic fan, Badger.
No,
I'm afraid this is so sad that it's your last one.
So India were 36 all out in pink ball test. Nobody blamed the pitch over there. It was pure technical glitch over there. There are all the batsmen almost nicked behind. They did not play well. End of story. So why not blame over here to the batsmen? Yes, the bowler. How many matches do we see where the bowlers are having their say? It is always the batsman, whether it is over ODIs, whether it is T20s.
But there's a difference, Naman. There's a difference, Naman, between an equal contest. The rules, the ICC rules for pitch preparation say that it should be on the first sort of 2 or 3 days, a pretty even contest between bat and ball. And then obviously the pitch is going to naturally deteriorate. These pitches that India are serving up here, they're different to the ones that England played on in 2016. They're different to the ones that England won on in 2012-13. These pitches are starting on day one as if it's day three or day four, and they are deteriorating from there. It spanned more today than it spanned yesterday. And that is not good test match cricket. A pitch that naturally makes a test match finish just over 5 sessions is not good for test cricket, Naman.
It is not. I do agree with you. But I don't judge a pitch with the amount of turn. A turn is a turn. If you look back to the Sri Lanka series, as I mentioned, Embuldenia was turning right from the first delivery. And none other batsmen apart from Root were able to pick him up. So that does not mean the pitch was bad. Again, over here, we admit that even Indian players were not good on this wicket and we played poorly. I feel the smaller sessions, as I mentioned in my tweet also, 24 overs were bowled by the fast bowlers from England, where they ended up giving 79 to 80 runs.
And this is a point I was going to come in for, Naman. I think a lot of Rohit Sharma's runs came against England's pace bowlers. A lot of Zach Crawley's runs came against India's pace bowlers. As soon as the spinners came on, the top score was almost 25 by Ben Stokes, wasn't it? And Virat Kohli's innings. Yeah, the spin just ruled the roost on that surface in Ahmedabad. And I didn't think it was good for the game at all. Elvis Presley once said, "We're caught in a trap. We can't get out, but we might be able to soon. Hopefully COVID-19 will be behind us and we can get back on the cricket pitch this summer. And you need to make it count. BlackRatCricket.com. They have an original range, a rodent range, a little rat range. Bats made by cricketers for cricketers. Make 2021 count. BlackRatCricket.com. Join the infestation." Ashley's desperate to come back in on the point you've made, Naman.
I mean, I thought for a moment we got Sunil Gavaskar with us because he was saying it was all technical and nothing to do with the pitch. I thought KP and Butch had a really interesting chat just before that sort of final last half hour where they spoke about how DRS has changed playing spin and how it's now the straight ball that's dangerous because you can no longer play for half and half of the ball that doesn't spin and the ball that does spin and get away with it like they used to. And they were sort of saying that that's why it's been so difficult and why the pitch is so poor is that you can't pick A, which ball's going to skid on and stay straight, or which ball's going to bounce and turn. And now with how DRS is, it makes it much, much more difficult for someone to play not knowing what's going to happen, which is why you've seen the collapse. And they were sort of suggesting if this happened back in sort of 03, 04, people had just kicked the ball away and got away with it, basically, which I thought was a really interesting...
No, it is a good point. And I think DRS has changed the game. I spoke to Ray Illingworth at length. I interviewed him a few years ago. And Ray Illingworth said to me, I don't think it was on record. I think it was when we were walking around the ground that he was mowing at the time, one of his club grounds. And he was saying that it had been DRS when he was bowling in Test cricket. He wouldn't have had 122 Test match wickets. He'd had more like 250. And he'd have had more like 3,000 first class wickets rather than the 2,072 that he took. So, because you just get more decisions. As a bowler, you just get more decisions. Sam's joined us. Hello, Sam. And we've been talking about India playing the best cricket, but also the pitch conditions as well. What's your overall assessment in a nutshell on those 5 sessions and a bit that we've seen in Ahmedabad?
Oh, it's much easier to do it in a nutshell when there's only 140 overs to talk about.
You can go through ball by ball if you want.
Nearly 500. I could just do a rerun of the entire test. Look, just a bit disappointed, really. I was looking forward to a weekend watching Test cricket. You know, I mentioned before, I love the fact that it's 9 o'clock so I can get my episode of Frasier, which of course is now coming back as they've announced today, before the cricket. But yeah, I've not seen a lot of today. I've only seen the highlights. So it's difficult to be too shit scathing, but it doesn't look good, does it? That's not how a Test match should play out. I mean, credit to India, they did really well, but if you just see the way people are talking about it during it, the kind of level of ridicule and how astonishing the situation was, just how it was unfolding. I don't know. I suppose good fun for those that are watching it for the short period of time, but disappointing that it's not been a better contest between bat and ball.
That's my biggest disappointment. I've got 3 days where I don't know what to do with now. Rito, even Alistair Cook on the Channel 4 coverage in England has been quite critical. Alistair Cook's a very placid fella. I can't imagine Alistair Cook ever gets angry. He's been saying that he just, him and Andrew Strauss have been talking in the studio about how you would play on that pitch and how you would try and combat the spin with balls shooting on straight and balls spinning violently, how you would try and get a sort of fashion a technique, fashion an approach to that to actually ensure you stayed in and ensured you kept the scoreboard ticking. And Andrew Strauss and Alistair Cook have had quite a lot of success themselves in Indian conditions, and they said they would really struggle.
Yeah, but James, as I stay in India, I have a lot of Indian friends, and they are also very critical of this pitch. Yeah, they are appreciating India for winning it in five sessions, but they are also critical of the pitch, saying this is not a test match standard pitch, and they are Indians. So that tells a story. Again, I won't take any credit away from India, but it showed there are some deficiency in the English batsman's techniques about playing spin. This young English batsman, I was a lot more confident in them that they would be able to cope up to those challenges. But ever since the first innings in Chennai, it looked like they did all the batting over there, and for the rest of the series, that they haven't got a lot left.
Assam, I think Marito's point there, I kind of agree with that, really. I've had people telling me from India today, oh, you should stop crying, you should stop kind of whinging. I actually don't really consider myself as being an England fan in this series or an Indian fan. I just want to see good cricket, and I want to see, you know, as close to 5 days of good cricket as I possibly can. I've been really looking forward to this series, and for this third test match to be over within 2 days, albeit the better side winning, I think is really disappointing.
Yeah, and I don't try and hide that I'm an England fan, so of course I want England to win. So I'm disappointed from that perspective. I do try and step back and think, well, actually, there's going to be a lot of people with tickets for days 3, 4, and 5. They're going to be very disappointing. And that's what you really want. It's a big showpiece event.
There'll be 165,000 of them, won't there?
Oh, yeah. It's a series, as you say, it's so built up. It's meant to be the grand opening of this. Well, it is the grand opening of this, what is a wonderful new stadium. And it really spend a little bit more money on the pitch, maybe, to ensure there's 5 days of cricket, or at least the possibility of 4 or 5 days of cricket. I think it's hard to put into words, but it is disappointing when you've got someone like, if you've got the likes of Cook and Strauss, who know far more about batting in those conditions. And funnily enough, I've had more success than I have ever had in those conditions.
That surprises me, Sam.
I know, I'm full of surprises, James. But if they're sitting there going, I've got no idea what I'm doing on this pitch, you do have to wonder that. Again, it goes back to my previous point, contest between bat and ball. If those two can't work out how they would try and make it an even contest, then there's something slightly awry.
Well, let's ask Naman, because Naman knows. Naman, if you've got Alistair Cook and Andrew Strauss in front of you and they were about to go out onto that Ahmedabad pitch, how would you advise them to play spin on today against Akshar Patel and Ravi Ashwin, who are turning some and rocketing some on straight?
See, to be honest, we as Indians are used to these wickets because these are the wickets we play day in, day out in Ranji trophies. They are the 4 days, not even 5 days, but this kind of test matches get over in 2 to 3 days. But as mentioned also in the expert commentary box, you have to get their feet moving. Hardly you saw any of the players using their feet against the spinners.
But can I just remind you that India were bowled out for 145 on it and were reduced from, 98 for 2 to 145 all out this morning. So with the Indians who are playing in that domestic trophy and are very used to those conditions as well, didn't exactly handle it either, did they?
Yes, absolutely. And we are agreeing on that. You also saw Kohli mentioning it in the press conference. That was bizarre batting from Indians' point of view also, because we play on such wickets day in, day out. And to be honest, it was not good batting, especially from Pant and Akshar Patel, which especially only Leach out there. Yes, sir, Root bowled brilliantly. Lot was expected from such a batsman, but I am simply talking from cricket's point of view. Yes, pitch this in, this out, and we tend to we see a lot of pitches like this. It's not just that test matches. We consider 3 day test matches. We also see those kind of test matches day in, day out. How many test matches go till 5 days in the series we see recently in last 4 to 5 years? But what I am trying to mention here is just bad, just play well. Yes, you are going to be tested, but we start complaining about the pitches when the bowlers tend to dictate their terms, when the batsmen are scoring double hundreds and briskly.
Somebody
and
said that to me on Twitter today, Naman, and they said when a team gets 750, nobody complains. I can assure you they do, because I've covered and listened to overseas tours where Sri Lanka have racked up 800 or something like that. Everybody moans about it. This isn't good for test cricket. It's just a road, and there's no excitement here. There's nothing in it for the bowler. So from that extreme gets criticised too.
Yes, they do, James. But if you will see the test wickets where India used to produce earlier also with likes of Hayden, Gilchrist, everyone has played over here. The test match never lasted for 5 days. Yes, it went to 3 days or 4 days, but it was the technique of the batsmen, the impact they had, likes of Hayden, Gilchrist, Cook, they brought in. And yes, they used their feet. The pinners also were in the back foot. Immediately, you saw Rohit Sharma hitting for a 6-2 Leach. He brought down his length so far back because there is no intimacy from what I use the words, no attack from England is what I always mention right from the day one. Yes, in the first test they were good, but there are no sixes, no attack apart from Crawley hitting the fast bowlers. But when will they start using their feet against the spinners so that the length of Ashwin and Akshar will change? They are only using that particular crease and using defense as a mechanism, which is not working for them. So this is what I'm mentioning. Yes, everyone can talk about the pitches, but I'm strongly talking here about the technique of the batsman, not only for England, also for the Indian batsman. And I'm simply talking on cricket terms only.
Ash, there's no doubt Naman's right in that England are absolutely shocking against the spinning ball.
I don't think anyone anywhere could claim any different. We are poor against the spinning ball. I don't think that's a debate. The fact we were the poorer team, we made the wrong tactical decisions as well in this game, is not up for debate in the slightest. They got the game plan wrong. I don't think there's any debate there. India played well, and we played this game over in Sri Lanka on the pitches we saw in goal. It was what we would call good spinning pitches that spun from day one, but were fair, had the option there for the batsmen, and we're going to last 4 or 5 days. I still think we'd have lost, but I think it'd have been an actual spectacle to watch. It'd have been what you expect from a test match, and you'd have seen 4 or 5 days. It still doesn't excuse England. It's not an excuse for England in the slightest. They need to be better. And I just hope that in the fourth test, we maybe come back with better tactics and hopefully a better game plan for when it comes to batting.
Cricket's a game played with balls. You've got to look after them in the field. Badgers are furry creatures. My friends at manscaped.com help you make sure it's neat and tidy down there. Oh, get rid of all that excess fur. Make sure that you're neat and tidy. Make sure everything's in the right order. Oh, feeling all good now down in my set. Oh, manscaped.com. Maximum skin safe performance, compact design, advanced engineering, ceramic blade, waterproof. And it doesn't end there. Show you care by caring for your pair. Cleansers, revivers, preservers. Simply go to manscaped.com, quote the discount code Badger, you get 20% off, you get free shipping, and you get some seriously quality equipment. Manscaped.com. Get on there now. Rito, you watched the test matches in Sri Lanka as well. The turn there was a little bit more predictable. There was turn there in Sri Lanka. The likes of Mbeldenya, etc., caused England all sorts of problems at times. It kind of wasn't breaking the surface. It was some weren't popping up violently. It wasn't turning square. It was turn that if you were batting well, you could read and play, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was slow turn in Sri Lanka. That was the difference between this pitch. It is fast turn, and with Akshar Patel bowling that skidding on, it makes it much harder for the batsman. Probably if I have to blame someone for preparing this type of pitch, it must be England. By winning the first test match, they pushed India into such a corner that they had to prepare this kind of tracks to qualify for the World Test Championship final, I think.
Sam, I would have been over the moon if England had won one test match, I think, as an Englishman. They won the first one, as Rito says. That's probably actually backfired on them a little bit. But yeah, I guess going to the subcontinent, you have to face conditions like this and you have to play spin. If you're the ECB, if you're the England hierarchy, this is the hardest tour that England ever get, really. For the sake of, I don't know, 4 weeks once every 4 years, can you see why there hasn't been more kind of initiative in trying to get batsmen playing spin? I know they do it, and they take the lines over there, and there is some kind of effort made, but for just one tour in a four-year cycle, you can maybe understand why England are quite happy to beat everybody else back home and go and have easier tours in the West Indies and stuff.
Maybe, but I still think they want to you want to test yourself against the best. And
when you come to this now, when England go 2-1 down or 3-0 down in a series and everybody starts to complain about England can't play spin, that it actually gets taught about. We'll forget about it in 2 months' time when they're playing against Ireland on a seamer.
Perhaps, but I don't know if they do. Do they still do lines and A tours out there? I think more people should go out there and play club cricket or representative cricket. I think, you know, there's a lot of people rightly go and play club cricket in the winter in Australia and New Zealand, but perhaps they might want to, I don't know, maybe there are huge numbers of people doing it, but you see few. I know people go out for, there's often spin camps and things like that they take people out for, but you can't, you know, we talk about my club's home ground at Taunton, but even if it is a spinning wicket, the conditions aren't quite the same. Very rarely, as much as the sun does shine in the West Country, we're not looking at 35 degree heat and very humid all the time. So you have to be out there to prepare for it. I think England did pretty well in the first test. And like you said, not shot themselves in the foot, but they were less decisive against the spinners in both of the last two tests. And that's been their undoing. And the problem is mentally now.
I think when England batted on the first 2 days in that first test match in Chennai, it wasn't really spinning, was it? So they're playing Ashwin and the like, who had their hands tied behind the back a little bit, because it was a little bit of a road in the first sort of 2.5 days there. Only really sports spin came into it later on. So they obviously England made the most of the conditions. You can't complain about that. But it was a lot easier. It was a different proposition than batting today, say, in Ahmedabad.
It was. And without experiencing those, if it's, you know, if it's your first time experiencing those conditions, you're going to be at a disadvantage. So without actually physically going out there and gaining the experience, then you're not going to know what it's like. But I still think they could have been, it became very, you watch one of your mates or a couple of your mates go early, and then suddenly you're more tentative and more tense when you're out at the cricket. They were kind of half playing shots, probably not going neither forward nor back in this. It's certainly in the last couple of days, I saw them bat yesterday. So I do think they perhaps need to be a bit more decisive in the next test with their footwork against the spinners. That said, just my previous comments about the pitch still stand.
The other thing as well, the pitch, we've talked about the pitch. Don't want to labour that point too much today, but Ashwin and Axel Patel bowled blooming brilliantly on it. So there's no sort of condemnation of the Indian spinners. They took a lot of maybe easy wickets for them, but they deserved them because they bowled really nicely. And obviously, Naman, Ravichandran and Ashwin, 400 test wickets today when he got out Jofra Archer. That's the second fastest test player to 400 test wickets. That's some going, isn't it?
Absolutely brilliant performance out there, and he's well supported by Axar on the other hand, which where he is getting that cushion to try a lot of variations out there, and he's got the best platform out here, and again getting this achievement against the likes of England is just icing on the cake. I feel not only with the ball, also with the bat, he has been brilliant throughout, not only against England right now but also against the Australia. He was just brilliant, and I feel the kind of performance he has given in both this series, white ball is calling for him. I feel with Kuldeep Yadav not so much in that great form right now, I feel he will soon be in the white ball cricket as well.
Rito, obviously England's rest and rotation policy is there for a reason, and it's more mental health and well-being than the cricket side of stuff, but it's not helping really, is it? And, you know, Johnny Bairstow went home after being in quite good form in Sri Lanka, has come back and got a pair in this test match. I mean, Jos Buttler's probably stocks rising, isn't it, off the back of missing the last two games. It's a tough balancing act for England, isn't it, to try and get to look after their players but still stay at 100% on the playing surface.
Yes, absolutely, James. We have applauded the ECB's rest and rotation policy till the first test in Chennai, and now we are criticizing it. Probably in hindsight, I think England probably got the best squad out to Sri Lanka. An hour and a half of Buttler on this wicket would have really helped England, and a lot of people were saying that.
Do you genuinely think that Jos Buttler would have batted any better than any of the guys in the middle order? Because I'm not convinced he would have done.
He has a method against spin, and the Indians really, really fear him. As soon as he would have come out, there would have been a couple of fielders on the boundary, and he could have taken a bit of chances against them. And we never know, if Jos Buttler stays in there, he scores quickly, and another 100 runs, you never know, James.
Ash, would Jos Buttler have made a difference today?
He might have made a minuscule difference, but I don't think it was going to be a difference that wins you the game. I still don't quite understand why it is that out of all the batsmen England have got, that Jos Buttler is the one that Indian fans are so fearful of, to be honest. I think, don't get me wrong, I think Jos is a very good batsman in all four formats.
Yeah, they've seen what he can do in the IPL, that's why, I think.
Well, yeah, I think I've upset a few Indian fans on Twitter myself today by saying that I think their views on Test cricket have been a little bit affected by the IPL and T20, because they believe in an action-packed two-day Test match is brilliant, and they also seem to think that Jos Buttler is the biggest threat to their bowlers, which I can't see. I think he might have made a little difference. I don't think folks has particularly impressed me in the last couple of games, but I think it'd be very, very minuscule if he did make a difference.
I feel for Ben Foulkes, actually, because he's got his opportunity in the toughest batting situation he could possibly face, I think, in an England shirt. So Josh Butler's, as I say, stock's rising above Ben Foulkes's because he's not having to play on those surfaces. Naaman, final question for you on the Josh Butler kind of thing in the IPL. As Ash said there, I mean, as you know, I'm a big IPL fan, love it. I do feel that Ash is a bit right there, that the Indians like this frenetic kind of cricket these days in test matches, aren't bothered about it finishing in 2 or 3 days, because the IPL, the more bite-sized cricket, is what kind of turns them on these days. And they'll rate Josh Butler because he can score a quick 80 for the Mumbai Indians a few years ago, or the Rajasthan Royals, then actually look at his test record and realise in a white shirt playing for England, he's maybe not quite as good as that.
No, I do not agree to this point.
Do you know what, Naaman? I thought you might not.
It's not about the fact about Josh playing good in IPL, but I consider the point that it would have brought more flavor to the England batting lineup, because where we see is that every batsman is stuck out in the crease. No one is out there using their feet out, intimidating the likes of Ashwin and Akshar, making them their lens change. But Butler is one of that players who would have made them do that. Fielders would have scattered along, and as Rito mentioned, 50 or 100 runs could have made the difference, because he's the like of a batsman who won't stay over there defending the deliveries, where I feel the Bairstow should change his game.
But if you've actually watched Josh Butler playing for England in Test cricket, he's actually quite dour at times. He bats a lot of balls. He doesn't go out and attack.
I do not think so. This would have been the case here. I totally feel that Ben Stokes and everyone, you saw what Ben Stokes did today. He was attacking right from
the ball. Yeah, but Ben Stokes does it in a test shirt as well. Josh Butler doesn't. Sam, bring you in on that. You've watched a lot of England. Josh Butler actually bats quite sensibly and slowly in test cricket, doesn't he, mainly?
Yeah, and he always has done that. You know, even in first-class cricket, Josh Butler is a wonderful player, first and foremost. I don't think he's suddenly going to, just because he's there, he's going to strike the fear of God into Patel and Ashwin, who are bowling absolutely marvellously. Actually, his first-class record was nothing to write home about when he was playing a lot for Somerset. You know, it was decent. He is a extremely destructive white ball player and can be in test matches, but I don't think based on his record, he had a great summer, but it wasn't by hitting sixes. He wasn't suddenly taking bowlers for 20, 24 runs and over. I just think that is misplaced.
There's an image that the Indian public have of Josh Butler, which he's gained from the IPL. It has to be, because they've seen him score 50s and 100s at an express rate in the IPL. Obviously seen him win the World Cup with England. And imagine he's going to bring that to the Test arena, Rito. And he doesn't do that in the Test arena, does he? I mean, I'm not saying, I think Josh Butler actually is England's best wicketkeeper batsman at the moment, which is not something I've always believed, but I think he probably has the shirt at the moment. But he's not that kind of player in test matches.
Well, let's say something that Josh Butler has hugely improved since his recall in 2018. His wicketkeeping has improved a lot, and you have even accepted it, James, haven't you?
Yeah, even I have. Yeah, I have.
Yeah. So what I was saying, James, probably Josh, maybe he would have made a difference. In the first innings, Ben Foulkes batted for 60 balls and he scored just a 12.
But why does, because we're running out of time, so I'm going to get this question in before we finish. Why does Naaman say, and why do I pick up on Twitter, that as soon as Josh Butler comes to the crease in a test match, they'd put a long on back and they'd put a deep mid wicket, etc., because they'll expect him to go out all guns blazing? They're not actually doing their analytics if they're doing that, because that's not how Josh Butler plays in test cricket.
Yeah, he doesn't, but the conditions in India are very different to that in England. In England, he has to take a bit of time, but in India, where the ball is spinning sharply, he knows there's going to be a ball with his name on it and he has to take his chances. And that's where I think in the first innings, he could have made a difference if he had been in place of Foulkes, where he could have put his foot in the pedal and hit a couple of sixes. I am not sure. Ben Foulkes, even if he tried, could have cleared the boundary.
It's going to be interesting, isn't it, to see how England regroup. We've got 3 days off now, fellas, where we're going to have to do a test daily and try and think of something to actually talk about over the next 3 days, because we were expecting to talk about test match cricket, but the test in Ahmedabad has finished within 2 days. We'll reunite myself and Naaman on the podcast very, very soon. I won't sack him just yet, and we will fight it out. We will keep going, Naaman, myself and you, because I thought that pitch was substandard. Naaman defends it, as has a lot of Indians on Twitter, and it's all about opinions, isn't it? Sport, that's why we love it, and that's why we do podcasts, and that's why we follow the game. I just like to follow the game for a bit longer than five sessions when it's supposed to be a 5-day test match. Ash, Naman, Rito and Sam, thank you very much indeed for joining me today. Thank you everybody out there for listening as well. And stay tuned because we have a few more podcasts that are not going to be talking about the action, talking about something else over the next 3 days as we go through the rest of England's series in India. At least the one day games will last one day, won't they? That's a blessing as we look forward to the white ball stuff to follow the test matches as well. Thanks everybody for listening. I've been James the Cricket Badger and I'll see you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening. We will be back every day during England's tour of India. Get in touch on @cricket_badger on Twitter. We hope you are enjoying the cricket. See you again tomorrow.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.